of adjustment, but easy on the curves.
Not a glitch, Dad. Just got dyslexia, okay?
This out on you! This out on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
Obscure Disney Podcast.
Brought to you by Mary Poppincorn. Practically perfect in every way.
To all who have come to this podcast, welcome. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast. I'm Steven.
And I'm Ryan.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass to this podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast from? Simply find us at Obscure Disney Podcast or search for obscuredisneypodcast.com.
I'm ready to retread some ground here, Steve.
We're retreading it? That sounds fantastic.
Right. We've talked about it before, but this time I think we're going to go a bit more in depth.
Yeah. Phantasmic versus Phantasmic versus Phantasmic.
Three?
There's three versions of the show.
What?
Right? In my mind, I was only thinking that there was two, and then at the last minute, I was like, wait a minute. Doesn't Tokyo Seas have a version of it as well?
They totally do.
They absolutely do.
Oh, yeah. Look at you being sneaky.
Yeah, it was kind of a dream come true moment for me. I queued up on YouTube. I found three videos, queued them all up to the beginning scene of where Mickey was, and had all three videos and hit play all at the same time, and then watched them in sequence, you know, and I would just turn the music on and off of which one I wanted to kind of watch, and so you could kind of compare the moments in the that they were having in each show.
Wow.
Oh, it was incredible. I highly recommend it. If anybody has 25 minutes to kill, there you go.
That is some extreme sleuthing you just did. Right?
Well, I was really curious because it feels to me like the Disneyland show has such emotion behind it that I didn't really feel like you get from the Hollywood Studios show, right? Mm-hmm. Like I feel like that one dragged a little bit, and I was like, I wonder if that's just in my mind. So I queued them up and played them all against each other? No, it's not in my mind. It's true.
Well, my initial question was going to be, is it fair to try to compare Disneyland to Disney World?
I think it's absolutely fair.
Well, Disneyland just got a complete revamp that Disney World has not had for...
ever?
I mean, 20 years. I don't know that they've ever really updated it.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I wanted to research that as well. The show originally opened in 1992 in Disneyland.
Okay.
And then 1998 at Hollywood Studios.
Uh-huh.
It probably wasn't called that at the time. And then in Tokyo Disney Seas in 2011.
Okay.
And then the Disneyland has had multiple refurbs on it, including a major refurb in 2017 when they took the whole thing down, completely started over again on the whole show.
Right.
And so, but when you look at the Hollywood Studios show, I wasn't able to really see any major changes to that show.
Yeah, I don't think they've made any.
You don't think so ever?
No.
Nothing?
Well, this is the problem, I think, with Disney World, is that they are so busy all the time that there's never a good time.
That's a good point.
To stop doing it and refurb. But maybe now that we're moving into the holiday season and they have other things going on in the park, maybe they could justifiably close down. But it's the holiday season, so you can't close
it. You can't do it now. But I was wondering about that too, because it really feels like they're secretly, if you call it a secret, they're secretly rebuilding all of Hollywood Studios to be a new park, you know? I think that when we look back in 5 or 6 years from now, we're going to be like, oh, this is an incredible park now, as opposed to what it was a few years ago from now, you know, when we get
Galaxy's Edge.
Thank you. Galaxy's Edge is open, and Toy Story is going to be open, and then probably Marvel Land's going to be opening, and so forth and so on. And then I wonder, like, you're obviously going to have to refurb the show for that, right?
Well, that was my second point, is like, are we on the verge of a really big refurb of their Phantasmic with all of the new additions coming to the park? I feel like the Phantasmic that they have there now is so out of place with everything else that's going into the park. There is no Toy Story. There is no Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, like, it seems like they should have an entire show of their own that's vastly different.
Right.
But that's just my opinion.
Vastly different, huh? You mean completely different than what they're showing at Disneyland California right now?
I think so. I think the the language of the park is so different that having the princesses and things like that doesn't really make sense for Hollywood studios. They're focusing more on the movie side,
yeah,
of the Disney company. So would it be better in, you know, to do a Star Wars / Indiana Jones / Toy Story,
huh,
you know, amalgamation of something like that versus doing a full-on princess,
right,
parade?
Well, and that's what, I mean, interestingly enough, we're supposed to be living inside Mickey Mouse's fantasy world, right?
Right.
And that's not at all the indication you get when you're watching the one at Hollywood Studios right now. Mm. Not at all.
No, not even close.
So far from it.
Yeah.
But I feel like the one at Tokyo Seas, do you remember that one that had the Mickey's big LED hat type of a thing?
Yeah.
And then they have the boats that come out, but the boats, they blow up into great big balls, and yeah, then they project from the inside of them as they have characters dancing around the bottom.
Right.
But the characters aren't necessarily face characters. They're different, that they look slightly, I don't remember.
Just like dancer leak type
things. Exactly, yeah, right? And so they did, and then a lot of what you would see on the floats and the other shows, you see in the projection on those. Mm. But all of that really did feel a lot more Mickey's, inside Mickey's dream world. Mm-hmm. It really feels more like that is more on brand for what the show should be. However, don't mess with the one in California, or I'm sorry, in Disneyland, California. Because that thing is now fantastic.
It's fantastic. Fantasmic.
Oh my gosh.
Well, that's what I unfortunately am ill-prepared and only watched Florida and California's version. But the California version with their projection mapping,
yeah,
on the entire stage, basically,
yeah,
really brings the entire thing together in a way that is not even close to the, you know, in Florida.
Oh, not even,
you know,
not even close to that. But you're right that that's added a 3D element to it now that really brought that back island to life, that mm-hmm. really made it part of the show. We normally sit clear off to the side, so we right. don't sit right in front because it's always easier to get a seating over there, or mm. standing, if you will.
Right.
So we didn't, and we just saw that teeny little screen that they put above Mickey, the little cabin.
The cabin.
And we're like, island. What's that about? Like,
yeah,
that's going to add that much to the show. But then seeing it straight on, you're like, yeah, it does.
Yeah. Well, and then they've even upped all the lighting. So when Murphy comes out, there is such a lighting cue that it's more epic and,
right.
and amazing.
Right.
And watching the Florida version.
Right.
All I can say is it feels very lethargic.
It truly does.
Like maybe they weren't sure what they were actually doing when they choreographed this. Because you watch, they have a section with Pocahontas, which I don't mind, except for nothing happens.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of people standing around.
Yeah, it's 4.5 minutes, that Pocahontas sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so boring.
It's super boring.
Well, actually, and what's sad about it is that's kind of a climatic moment of the show for them, because there's a lot of gunshots and fireworks being shot across the stage at each right. other.
And there's lots of cast members on stage.
So that should be a grand moment for it, but it just isn't.
Yeah.
It's really not. And that's 4.5 minutes of your life that you don't, that you could completely take out.
Right.
So
the show is basically, we'll just round up and say it's basically a 30-minute show.
Yeah, those right? they're 27 minutes at both of the U.S. parks.
Yeah.
But it's only 21 minutes at Tokyo.
Oh, okay.
So it's quite a bit shorter. Mickey just basically disappears in his hat and goes away, where then the U.S. shows, we get the boats that go around the outside with right. all the characters. That's about the difference in the show.
So I, when watching the two that I watched, the Florida one felt like it relied so much on water screen.
Right.
And just water screen. And then when you watch the California version, they have pretty much the same amount of water screen, except there's a lot more action going on around the water screens.
Right.
So I actually timed it. So in Florida, they do basically 12 minutes worth of water screen during their show.
Okay.
Right. But in California, they're doing 11 minutes of water screen How during interesting. Their show. So literally, you can go online and watch both these shows, but in California, even though the water screens are going on, they don't often black out the entire rest of the stage.
Yeah.
So there's movement, there's the projection mapping, there's characters on stage. Whereas in Florida, it's literally like they just put up a movie screen.
And, yep. And change it out behind it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, and if you look at the Florida show, the first 9 minutes is just projection screens, mm-hmm. and then it goes into 4.5 minutes of Pocahontas, and then it goes into like basically kind of starts like the I guess there's a princess sequence in there, but Mickey's like the villain characters mm-hmm. go on for an extra 3.5-4 minutes as well.
Yeah.
So it really just brings on, you add all those things together in the Hollywood Studios show, mm-hmm. and it has a much darker element by, you know, it feels really dark.
Yeah. And they have a lot more villains on their version, too.
With the extra 4 minutes, it's yeah. very villain-heavy.
Which I don't mind. I like me some Disney villains, honestly. But I don't feel like they're integrated in a way that makes sense.
No.
Like, the concept is that the villains are invading Mickey's imagination, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of the concept. So, you would think they'd have a couple face characters or, you know, whatever. But literally, it's just water screens of villains saying randomness,
right?
You know, and it feels cheap.
Yeah,
you know, it feels like they've missed an opportunity to do something truly unique to that park. You know,
yeah, because the one thing that's so great about it is that it has the great big amphitheater, like yeah. a very dedicated space to it.
Yeah,
it's the only park that really does have a dedicated space for it. So it would be absolutely incredible if they did something that was very unique and special for just that theater that only that park could do.
Sure.
And if you were talking about villains, like, why not? You know, you had an idea that was really going to plus up the villain side of things, right?
Yeah, I thought so. In California, we have Maleficent as the main antagonist, right?
Right.
We have Murphy that comes out that is completely uncomparable to anything in the Florida version.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Oh, when you watch the two side by side, like you think Florida's isn't that good, and then you see them side by side and you're like, oh,
it's depressing. Huh. But I thought with the shape of the mountain and all that kind of stuff, you could easily project Ursula onto the mountain.
Yeah.
And then have animatronic tentacles that lift up out of the water around the island.
Oh, could you even imagine?
So she would be massive, and it wouldn't require the same amount of work that Murphy requires. You know, the tentacles could literally just come up, and it would be impressive.
Just come up out of the water?
Yeah.
But then stay above the water,
stay
maybe?
Above so, like, water, the water they could wave a little bit, like,
yeah.
back and forth or whatever. I understand that things underwater take a bit of work to keep
yeah.
functioning, but for a simple up and then back down, it could be really impressive, you know, and Ursula gets huge at the end of Little Mermaid. So you might as well play into that and have Mickey fight off Ursula.
Yeah. And she has a big part in the other two shows as well. So yeah. it would be fitting if they were to do
mostly
so
just like because that. I find the dragon in the Florida version so sad. Like it's like a stick and rod puppet that comes out of
yeah.
the mountain almost.
With some fabric hanging off of him, supposed to be giving the effect that it's bigger than it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's very 80s, you know, like late 90s, early 80s, late 80s, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's not as impressive. And like you said, in that big of an amphitheater, you really need to fill up that space.
Yeah.
And even when you're watching it on video, it's kind of underwhelming.
Completely.
Sad.
Yeah, so sad. It'd even be fun if they like built in, like almost like water jets into the tentacles too, so like they would almost like have water almost, you know, like they had it in the movie, because
mm-hmm.
you see the water just flowing off of her.
Yeah,
that would be super fun too if they kind of like
you could do
out
some
do
really
that.
Fun stuff
and then add lights and stuff into her
well
too.
And you look at Disneyland, and that's the whole thing, is all of their fountains are lit and have effects,
right?
Know?
They're calling them World of Color-esque fountains that yeah. were replaced out. And that was the thing too, that when you watch the Florida shows, they are, the water jets they have are only one color, and they only shoot straight up.
Yeah,
and that's about it. That's yeah. all you got, where they really have been able to add the choreography into the water fountains.
Do you think that all the work they're doing at that park is stopping them from improving this show, or do you think they've just said people are fine with it, just leave it?
I have no idea, but it makes me sad.
both of them make me sad, honestly.
Which ones?
Both of those scenarios where they're like, we're spending so much money fixing the park, we don't have the time or money to fix Fantasmic.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they're simply saying, no one's complaining, let's just leave it the way it is.
It's possible.
You know? Fantasmic feels like kind of a cap to your day. It needs to be a grand finale type situation.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately in Florida, I feel like they're falling short of that.
Right. Like when we have gone there, we've gone with large groups of people, and you and I were the only two that wanted to go see the show. Nobody else was interested in it.
Right.
And so everybody else, and with the theater, the seats 11,000 people, mm-hmm. it was like, no, I've seen it. It's fine. But that's not at all the reaction you get from the other two shows. They have a Tokyo season Disneyland.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to see it.
Yeah. Because it's a spectacle.
Right.
It's a something that is bad if you miss it. You've missed out if you don't go and see this.
Yep.
And I feel like Florida, with the immense space that they have dedicated to this show, should, you know, also dedicate some time to improving it so that it's worth seeing, you know?
Completely. So the other two things that really put it over the top for me at Disneyland.
Oh, yeah.
Columbia and Mark Twain.
Yeah, those boats.
It is unbeatable. You cannot beat those two boats in any capacity, because I guess like the fact that they're there and that they're used throughout the day, and you've been on them potentially throughout the day as well,
mm-hmm.
and then they're used in the show, it just feels very, you know, like Walt Disney really was about having almost what I like symbiotic relationships among all things in the park.
Yeah,
everything works together. He wanted the rides to interconnect whenever possible, and ridiculousness like that. That it's fun that you get to. Plus they're huge.
They're massive. Just
massive. When you see the Columbia go by you, and they're doing the now the Pirates of the Caribbean montage, or what would you call it?
The battle.
Yeah, whatever.
Scene.
So that scene, when that's coming by you, gives me chills. Like, it is incredibly cool to see that. Mainly because it's so big. It takes up like
right. And I wonder if maybe in Florida that's what hurt them, is they have such a huge amphitheater that Disneyland, you're still ground level.
Yeah.
So when the boat goes by, it is towering
over the top of you.
Meanwhile, in Florida, you have this amphitheater where you're looking down on everything.
Right.
So the grandeur, I think, is hurt by your perspective, almost.
That is a problem. But then you look at the size of the Steamboat Willie boat compared to the Mark Twain boat.
Well, the Steamboat Willie boat is only two levels, and the Mark Twain has three.
And I feel like it's forced perspective too, because it looks teeny. Those characters are bumping into each other on that thing. They like have to rotate from side to side.
It's definitely not as grand as the Mark Twain.
Oh, so depressing for me.
So what else pushes California over the top for you,
though? Well, those two things.
Oh, those two things specifically.
Yeah, you almost have to count them individually, because they're both so fantastic.
Well, yeah. And what other words do you use other than fantastic to describe Fantasmic in California?
At California, at the Disneyland park.
The only thing that really sucks about the California version is the viewing. Like, dealing with trying to get in to see the show is just a bear. Like, you have to deal with tired, sweaty, grumpy people at the end of the day, and you're jockeying for space amongst a bunch of these other people. It's not nearly as fun.
It's not.
Whereas in Florida, you get to leisurely walk in, find yourself a seat.
Right.
You can sit after a day of standing all day.
Yeah.
You can lounge and eat popcorn. And, you know, it's much easier than the California version.
Oh, yeah.
I find that exhausting.
It's a challenge.
It is.
You're being pushed back into that same walkway that you've been walking through all day long, too.
Yeah.
Yep. That is definitely a good point. But, you know, that's why I think that the Florida one could be so much bigger and grander.
So what do you think, though, if they do, since they have changed the face of this park, do you think it makes sense to continue doing Fantasmic as it is?
Well, it's 21 years old of that show now, right?
Yeah.
So you have to update it. You're updating the rest of the park as well.
Right.
So you have to update the whole entire thing. cut out the Pocahontas sequence. The whole,
or just do a nod to it. It doesn't need to be as extensive as it is.
And I think probably one of the biggest reasons they leave it in there is because it's one of the few water scenes that they do have. Even that, it's small little canoe, so it's embarrassing.
But Pocahontas is still popular. I mean, like in World of Color, they have an entire Pocahontas section too.
Yeah.
So the music is amazing. People love the Pocahontas music, so I'm not offended by that. What I am offended by is just that
4.5 minutes of it.
It's so anemic. Like, it feels like there's no energy in right. the show.
Yeah, the pacing of the whole show is huge issues for me.
Yeah. So, I personally think if you put in a Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Tower of Terror, Toy Story, you know, mixture of a show.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could still string it together with Mickey somehow, but you would have a very high energy show
yeah.
that could be vastly different than the other two.
Because you do have to leave it inside Mickey's imagination, right? Like, because sure. that ties in with Fantasia?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I mean, you know, be it from me to tell Disney how to fix their show, like, you know, everybody does. But I think
they have to know, though, that show is garbage.
I think everyone that has been there more than once
knows
that it's not worth seeing.
I mean, don't get me wrong, we're going to watch when we go back,
sure,
just because yeah. it's easy to watch there.
It's true. So it's true. It's much easier than the California version that we fight our way into every
but time. I tell you, if it was as much work to see it at Hollywood Studios, I would not go back. I would be like the rest of our friends that said, oh no.
Yeah.
There's no way.
I could see that too. Yeah. Well, it's like I always say, some imagination, huh? Till next time, follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger Disney point to the exit, and we'll see you then on the Obscure Disney Podcast.